So when times are hard, who do you want to have praying for you? I mean, most of us have people we like to ask to pray for us when we are struggling with issues, right? We like to have people praying for us. In this particular gospel, which is one of my favorites, Jesus is praying for his disciples. Then he says, I don't pray for them only, but for all those who will believe because of their testimony. In other words, Jesus is praying for us. Jesus is praying for you and for me and for all who in the history of the world will believe in Christ through the testimony of the apostles. That's a really powerful thing. It's a great prayer. God himself in human flesh is praying for you and for me. But what does he pray for? He prays for two things. He prays first that we would be one, that we would live together, all those who believe in Christ through the testimony of the apostles would live together as one. Now, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I think, you know, goodness gracious, if Jesus is praying that, you know, you think that things would have turned out a little better because there's so much dissension among the people of God. So much dissension. But Jesus is continually praying that we would be unified, that we would be one. Now, I'm speaking to a group. A lot of you have done some significant suffering to help bring about the unity of the faith. You have left traditions and churches and people that were very meaningful to you to gather together here in this place to try to restore unity to the body of Christ. Here in the Western world, in Europe and in America, that unity of the body of Christ was shattered so desperately in the 16th century, so badly. And yet, we are trying to do what little part we have in trying to bring that unity back together. And that is a marvelous thing. But let's think about unity. How does unity come about? How is it that we can actually become one? Well, we become one in the church much the way that we become one in marriage, right? In fact, St. Paul has the perfect advice. He says, consider one another as more important than yourself. We all know that in marriage, if we think that we're more important than our spouse, that there are going to be some problems in this marriage, aren't there? But if we put the needs of our spouse above our own, and both couples together lifting each other up, caring for one another's needs, then there is strong unity in that marriage. And it's the same way in the church. If we consider others as more important than ourselves, I mean, we all come here with opinions, right? We all come here with a background, with a culture, with the heritage, and we kind of want things to go our way. We want things to be the way we expect them to be, which makes us feel most comfortable. But if we take our eyes off of ourselves, off of our own needs and expectations, we put them onto the other. How can we make my neighbor, the person in the pew across from me or ahead of me or behind me, how can we make that individual experience God more richly when we come together? And when we go out into the week, how do we get to know one another so that we can help share each other's burdens, so we know when someone has a need and we can reach out to them and say, well, I've got things to do this week, but your need is more important than what I need to be doing this week, and reach out and care for them. That creates unity here in the body of Christ. And that's what Jesus is praying, that we would be one, that we would care for each other, that we would think of each other as more important than our own selves. And the second thing Jesus prays is that we would be one with him and the Father in the heavens. We talked about this on Ascension. That as Jesus goes to sit at the right hand of the Father, and as we live our lives in Christ by faith, then we too dwell in the heavenly places with Christ, so that we can carry His love, His mercy, and His authority into the world. That we can make a difference in this world because we are not fighting this battle alone. That we are fighting this battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil by the power and authority of Christ in the heavenly places. He sits enthroned on the throne of God at the Father's right hand. The psalmist says, that He rules in the presence of His enemies until He places all of His enemies under His feet. And we participate in that as we live by faith in Christ. We share in this battle that Christ is undertaking at this very moment. Against the world, against the flesh, and against the devil, against a culture that has forgotten God, against a culture that does not care, against a culture that is driven by selfishness and greed. We don't have to live that way because we dwell in the heavenly places in Christ at the right hand of the Father. With the love and with the mercy and with the authority of Christ in our lives and in this world. So Jesus prays two things for us, that we be one with one another and that we be one with Him at the right hand of the Father. Wow, there's power in that. There's tremendous power. And there's a bit of trepidation, isn't there? Because we like things to be our way. We know we've lived our way our whole lives, and surely it's right. Surely it's the right way. Surely the other people's way is not the right way. But the right way is the way of love. And love is constantly giving. Love is constantly sharing. Love is constantly looking to the other, to care for them, to be with them, to hold them through the difficult times, to encourage them when they are down, to lift them up. And consider the example of Stephen, and actually of the whole early church, as they gathered together, counting nothing as belonging to themselves, but everything, they held everything in common. They shared so much. They were known to be those who held all things in common. And Stephen, as he's being martyred, realizing he is not just one with the church, but he is one with those who are stoning him. And so he prays, do not hold this sin against them. Because he is one with the church, he is one with Christ, and he is one with all. This is a beautiful passage to be preaching on, as this particular community, as this particular parish, is about to undergo some significant change, right? I haven't been through everything with you, but I've been through a number of things with you, and I know that there's been some pain and there's been some struggle. That we as a community have been the redheaded stepchild of one parish, we've been renters in another parish, but are we going to get to the point that we are one community? Can we go into our new situation seeking unity, seeking oneness with one another and with new people that have a new culture and a new heritage? Can we come together and find unity? Because if we can, we can make a tremendous change, not only in our lives and not only in guardian angels and Our Lady of Hope, but in the world. A lot of times we think about our lives and the reason we're here. And we kind of wrap our lives around stuff like work, our job, right? Our savings for retirement, you know, our children, their education, their success in life. We wrap our lives around a lot of things, all of which are good things. But our primary vocation in life is to share with Christ for the redemption of the world. To give our lives to Christ and to one another in such a way that it makes a significant change, not just in our own small sphere, but throughout the earth. Think of the early Christians in Jerusalem who gathered together, who faced difficulties, who faced even martyrdom. But they lived their lives for the singular purpose of to serve one another and to give their lives up as for the redemption of the world, that we could share with Christ in that redemptive act. And that's what God is calling us to. My goodness gracious, we are looking for some really exciting days ahead. I have no idea what God is going to do, but I have walked with him long enough to know, as C.S. Lewis puts it in his Chronicles of Narnia, he is not a tame lion. And God is going to bring change in our lives. He's going to bring change in our hearts. He is going to bring change in this little church of the guardian angels. He is going to bring change in Westport, in Kansas City, and in the entire earth if we just devote ourselves to unity with one another and to unity with Christ at the right hand of the Father. And then we will see the power of God move in ways we cannot at this time imagine. So join with me and let's see exciting things happen.